You have your Bible, turn with us tonight to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. In chapter 1, in verse 1, the Bible says this. Chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Nehemiah, the Word of God says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Chisulah, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now the Bible goes on and gives Nehemiah's prayer to God. And he begins to ask supplication of the Lord. In chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, and seeing thou art not sick? And this is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid. As we looked at this tonight, we see Nehemiah, and we see him in the king's palace, and we see him as servant of the king. He was a cupbearer to the king. And we see him here as he's there in the palace. Now I want you to just visualize this tonight in your mind, if you can. Old Nehemiah's there in the palace as a cupbearer for old King Artaxerxes. And as he's there and he's bearing this cup, they were certain men, brethren from Judea, come in to him. And he seen them and he said, hey, fellas. He said, what's going on? What's taking place? Down in Judah. And the fellow said, those that's been escaped of the captives, they're left in captivity, left from the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem, he said, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. He said, the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. He said, Nehemiah said, it's just an awful state. The folks are under affliction. They're under all this burden, and they just can't escape this great affliction and this reproach that's upon them. And it just seems, Nehemiah, that there's no way they can get out from under it. It just seems like the burden's too great, and there's no one there to deliver them. And old Nehemiah, I can see him in my mind's eye, Brother Kevin, as he bowed his head before Holy God, and with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and he cried out to a holy God, and he began to bow his head, and he began to talk to God, and he began to pray to God, and he said, oh God, why must it be thus? Why must this happen to our people? And he began to weep and be sad. He began to mourn certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now can you picture him? Picture a man with a broken heart and a broken heart for his people. Amen. He had a burden for that little nation of Judah. He said, how's it going? They said, it ain't no good. The affliction and the reproach is everywhere. And old Nehemiah, he broke down. He mourned and he wept, and he wept and he prayed, and he talked to God, and he agonized with God the Father. He was trying to get some direction. He was trying to get some help. And there came a day shortly after this, after he had talked with God, after he had brought his supplication to the throne of grace. Amen. Ain't it a marvelous thing to be able to go before the throne of grace? Amen. It's a marvelous thing to take your supplications to a holy God. And it's a marvelous thing to know that he hears and answers prayer. And Nehemiah, he comes before the king. And he's the month of Nisan, the 12th year of Artaxerxes the king. And it was the wine was set before him, and oh, what Nehemiah had to go, and he had to take that wine, and he had to make sure that wine was pure. He had to make sure that wine was undefiled. And I can see in my mind's eye tonight, if you can see it with me, as old Nehemiah went in there, and he was sad in the countenance of his countenance was sad in the presence of the king. He said, "Now I had not been before time sad in his presence." Amen. He had never been sad in the presence of the king. It was his job to be upper. It was his job to look good. It was his job to be positive. Amen. Sometimes I want to say it's hard to be positive when the afflictions and reproach of the world is upon you. Amen. It's hard to be positive. And then the Bible says in chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing." Now listen to this. This king noticed this. "This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." He looked at Nehemiah and he seen his countenance and he seen the sadness. He seen the brokenheartedness in this servant. And he said, "It's nothing short of a broken heart." Amen. I want to preach tonight, if God will be my help, about our countenance. I believe there's some folks here tonight, and I'm preaching to the church. I guess everybody here's members except for Brother Dean, and he's an honorary member. Praise God. But I want to say, I'm looking around the church. I'm starting to see some countenance that's not what they used to be. I'm starting to see some countenance that's sad. I'm starting to see affliction and approach and reproach of this world starting to bring us down and get us to the place where God never intended for children of God to be. I'm starting to see some of the countenance on your face, some of the glow of God, some of the radiance of Christ begin to evaporate from you. What's causing that? It's a sadness of the heart. Praise God. It's something that's snuck in on us, and it's something that's reproached us, and it's affliction that's brought into us, and it's nothing else but sorrow of heart. It's sorrow of heart that we're having to go through these things. But Nehemiah, he said, "Hey, listen, king." He said, and said unto the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? Oh, in the city, in the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire." He said, "It seems like all around me, everything that I love, everything that I care about is just coming apart around me. It just seems like it's pulling apart at the seams, old king, and there's nothing I can do about it." Amen. He said, "Why wouldn't my countenance be sad? I know what's wrong with us youngins. We got lost loved ones. We got lost family. We got lost children. We got lost co-workers. We got people around us that's depraved. They got people around us that's rebellious. But I want to say tonight that we can't let them bring us down to where they are. We got to be lifted up in God Almighty. We got to realize that God will help us to overcome every obstacle that we face and encourage our heart in this last day. And to lift us up, praise God, when we need to be lifted up and encourage our hearts and show us His love and His compassion and give us the help that only God could give. I like this old Nehemiah. He said, "Why should my countenance be sad?" He said, "Don't you realize what's happening over in Judah, over in Jerusalem?" He said, "Don't you realize that all the place of my father's sepulchres and the place of the gates and the city, it's all in waste?" And like this old king, he said, "Well, hey," he said, for what dost thou make request?" Amen. You see, the prayer of Nehemiah had already working. He said, "Nehemiah," he said, "what do you need?" Amen. And now he said, it was a scary thing to be in the presence of the king with a sad countenance. He said, "I'd never been like that before," and he feared. But he said, the king says, "Hey," he said, "listen, I see your countenance. I see your sadness. I see that change in you." He said, "What do you need?" And Nehemiah, he said, "Hey, I need to rebuild the walls." He said, I need to build up. He said, I need to be built up. He said, we need to build up. We've been torn down enough. We've been demolished enough. We've been burned up enough. He said, it's time to rebuild the walls.
Amen.
Amen. For the glory of God. And so the king makes it available for him to go. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 11, he makes it possible for Nehemiah to go back to Jerusalem. In verse 11, notice the survey that Nehemiah does. He says, so I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, and I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Nehemiah, the Bible says, went out, Brother Frank, in the night, and he surveyed the damage. He got out and he began to look at what the damage was. I want to say, if we begin to look at what the damage is, what's causing the affliction, and we begin to look at the damage, and then we begin to do damage control, we begin to work in our lives, and we begin to realize that we're servants of a living God, and we're servants of one who can help us to build up the walls instead of tearing down. Amen. Praise the Lord. And God began to do that work in our lives. And I can see in my mind's eye, now get this, he surveys the damage. He realizes what needs to be done. And then he goes back and he calls the fellows together. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17. He said, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in. Now the first thing is to realize the distress. He recognized and realized they was in a distress. He said, we're in a distress. And he said, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. He said, come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. He said, it's time, youngins, that we get beyond become being a reproach. It's time to build again the walls. It's time to build them back. And we're going to build them back this time, not only the way they were, but we're going to build them better. We're going to build them stronger. We're going to build up those walls, the walls that the world's tore down, the walls that the devil's tore down, the walls that afflictions tore down, the walls that sorrow has tore down, and life and waste. He said, we're going to build them up, and we're going to build them better than they ever were. Amen. Glory be to God. Help us in this last day to build the walls. He said, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Now, Nehemiah, I guess some of them were scratching their head, and they said, oh, Nehemiah, how are we going to do this? How are we going to build these walls? Don't you see there's just a few of us? Nehemiah said, listen, you don't realize how good God's been. Amen. He said, when I left the king's palace, I didn't have nothing. I had nothing to work with. I didn't think I'd have nothing to work with. Didn't have nothing to make provision. He said, but God provided. He provided a way, and he provided the stuff, and he provided the means. And God will provide what we need to build again the wall of God. Amen. He said, God will build. God will provide. He says, as also the king's words that he's spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. And now listen to it. So they strengthened their hand for this good work. I want to say tonight, don't let your countenance be fallen. Don't you give up and don't you give in, because we're doing a good work. If you're working for God, if you're doing the best you can, listen, stay in the fight and don't give up. God Almighty's on your side. And if God be for us, who can be against us in this whole present world we live? We got a risen Savior, and we got a God supreme who's over everything and rules and reigns, and he'll always rule and reign. Amen. We have an ever-present help. Praise God, who's able to do that. But every time God begins to work, somebody comes along. The old devil comes up in the devil's gang. Always got to rise their head up. Amen. You know how to know you're good at doing a good work? Because the devil will fight you. If you're on the devil's side and you're working for the devil, or if you're not doing nothing, a devil will leave you alone. Amen? Well, but when you're trying to do a good work, when you're trying to work for God, when you're trying to build a wall, when you're trying to be a building pleasing to God, the devil will fight you. The opposition will be there. And Nehemiah seen this. Now can you see what plays out? The people said, hey, listen, let's get at it. This is a good work. He said, but when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arab, heard it, they laughed us to scorn. Amen? Now, have you ever noticed there's always somebody's going to mock and make fun? They're always going to mock and make fun everything that you do. Every time you try to be pleasing to God, every time you try to be a servant to God, there's always going to be somebody there to tear you down and to tear you up. Amen? There's always somebody going to be there to laugh at you and say, hi, that, Brother Bill, that don't amount to nothing. You're just making a fool of yourself. You ought to quit that. That's the old devil. The devil does that. Amen? He said, hey, they laughed him to score. And they said, hey, we're going to build the walls. They said, ah, you crazy bunch. Hey, ain't enough of you to build a doghouse. And you're going to rebuild the walls of the mighty city, Jerusalem. You are crazy. Amen. Amen. Hey, people today that we say, well, you know, we're going to get in there for the Lord. We're going to go for God. We're not going to give up. We're going to show it that we got the stuff. We're going to stay in a good fight of faith. We're not going to give up. And we're just going to plow on for Jesus. Amen. When adversaries come, we're just going to pray and keep on for God. Amen. And they say, well, you're crazy. Why don't you just take the easy road? Amen. Why don't you just do it to Israel? Why don't you just give up? They said they laughed us to scorn and they despised us. Do you ever feel despised? Huh? Do you ever feel despised? Huh? Yeah. I believe we all have. The world looks at you, they just despise you. They despise who you are. They despise the God you serve. They despise the work you're trying to do. They despise you, hate what you're doing. But you know why that is? Because it brings conviction on their heart. Because they see that good work and they know that it comes from God. You say, how do you know? I'll show you in a minute. That's what it does. They despise you. But the Bible says to pray for them that would spitefully use you. Amen? Those that would abuse you, those that would use you. He said to pray for them. It's like piling coals of fire on their head. Amen? Pray for them. When somebody despitefully you, when they laugh at you, when they scorn you, just pray for them. Lift them up to God. Amen? It's a hard thing to do. It's hard to do that for somebody that would spitefully use you, somebody that would despises you. But when you get to praying for them, you don't have to tell them. Amen? Don't tell them. But just pray. Pray for them. Make a point of praying for them 3 times a day. Morning, noon, and night. Pray for them. Amen. You say, what do you do? They'll just make them meaner than a junkyard dog. That's what it'll do. I'm telling you. It'll make them ill. It'll make them mean. But I tell you what, God will get a hold of their heart and He'll bring them to a breaking point and they'll be saved by God's marvelous grace. Amen. God's got to get you down to a broken, a contrite spirit, God, broke, contrite heart, where He can deal with them. So that they can realize what you got's the real thing. Amen. They said, what's this thing that you do? I said, what are you trying to do, Nehemiah? You crazy old coot. Trying to build a wall of Jerusalem. You're trying to rebel against the king? Trying to make yourself somebody? Amen? Ain't that what they say? You trying to be somebody? Who you think you are? Huh? Amen? I've had it. Who do you think? You think you're better than us? I'm just saved by God's marvelous grace. Amen? Just a child of God trying to go with the Lord with the best of my feeble attempts. Amen? Glory to God. He said, but the Lord's on my side and I'm going to stay in the fight of faith. Man, there's nothing they can do about that. Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. I'm just going to stay with God. Amen. I'm just going to keep following my Lord. I'm going to keep minding him. Wherever he points, that's where I'm going. Whatever he says to do, Brother Scott, he said, that's what I'm going to do. He said, I'm just going to stay with the Lord. He said, therefore we his servants will rise and build. But ye have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. Amen. He said, hey, listen, it ain't nothing to you. You don't have no part in it. Amen. You've chose not to have any part. You know what the problem with that, with this old world is? They choose not to have a part in it. They choose to rebel against God. They choose to reject God. They choose to push God away and say, I'm going to do my own thing. And oh, Lord, if I need you, by the way, I'll call you. I'll let you know. Ain't that the way most of the world is today? They said, Lord, if I need you, I'll call you. Don't you call me. Amen. He said, you have no portion in this. You have no memorial in this. Amen. You have no part. But look at Nehemiah chapter 4 in verse 1. He said, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Now here it is again. They said, we're just going to build the wall, just going to go with God. Just going to do what God leads us to do. We're just going to try to be faithful servants of the Most High. And they begin to work. Can you see it? They begin to work. They begin to build them contraptions, Brother Kevin, to roll them big old rocks up there and put them back in place. That had been tore down. They begin to mix them up some mortar, begin to get them big old rocks back up there in place. Now, you got to see them. The walls of Jerusalem today, they're mighty walls. I mean, these rocks in there, big old rocks. Amen. Tons and tons of rock. One rock. But they rolled them things back into place. They was working for God. And he said that old Sanballat heard that they were building the walls. The work had actually begun. And it tore him up. He said, they'll never get started. Bunch of jokers. They ain't got enough people to do anything. It won't amount to nothing. Kind of like what a lot of folks might say about us. Say, up there, Stony Fork ain't got very many. What they do won't amount to nothing. But souls is being saved. People's joined church. Four joined last Sunday morning, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord's a working in a mighty way. He said he began to be wroth. It made him mad that God's people were prospering in what God had them to do. He took great indignation, amen, and mocked the Jews. He couldn't do nothing, so he began to mock. He began to make fun. They're little innuendos that they throw out there. You know how they do, me and you? They talk about us. Talk about how we are. Just a bunch of old Bible thumpers. Just a bunch of radical religious folks. Amen. Just a bunch of fanatics.
Yeah.
Amen. Bunch of fanatics for Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm crazy about him. Amen. Glory be to God. He's my Lord and my Savior, my Redeemer of my soul. Amen. He said he spoke before the brethren of the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? He said, what are they doing? Why are you letting this go on? They're just a bunch of old feeble Jews. Don't amount to nothing. He said, will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Yes, they will. Amen. According to the will of God, they will rebuild the walls. Those walls will live again, praise God. God will rise them up.
Amen.
Amen. Now this is old Sanballat, and then old Tobiah, Ammonite, he's got to kick in his 2 cents. Ammonite was by him and said, even that which they build, now listen to the sarcasm, and even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Amen? Ain't that what the world does? They say that bunch of religious crowd, they ain't got nothing. It won't take nothing to tear it down. It won't take nothing to destroy that. It's just a feeble attempt at best. It won't mount nothing. The least little thing will destroy it. The least little thing will bring it to naught. Amen. But now notice what takes place. Now like it's right here in verse in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 4. Nehemiah reads a little prayer. Now listen to what he says. He said, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the height thereof, for the people had a mind to work." He said, God, this thing's in your hand. Those that would bring that despise us, they're in your hand. And he said, God, we're just going to leave you to deal with that bunch, and we're just going to keep on keeping on for God. Amen. Amen. Sometimes we just got to put those that would approach Him despitefully use us. We just got to put them in God's hands and go on about God's building. Amen. But now notice the opposition. Verse 7 through 9. He said, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth." Amen. It made them mad. They said, "We didn't think these little old few Jews could build her up. We didn't think they could build this great wall. But they just about built it. They just about completed that work that they set out to do." I want to say, youngins, tonight, glory be to God, the wall's almost finished. We've just about finished the work that God has appointed to. We finished our course, praise God, and we're fixing to outstrip this whole world and go on to be with God. We might as well just rejoice in the work and do it for the glory of God. Amen. Bless His holy name. And he said, "And conspired all of them together to come in and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." Ain't that the way the devil does? If what? Now listen to me. Listen to me now. If one or two can't come in and tear down the work, if the one or two can't come in and dissuade you, if one or two can't come in and despitefully use you, if the one or two can't stop you from doing the work of God, then they'll team up on you. Amen. They'll team up on you. They'll fortify themselves against you. And they'll come as one and try to destroy you. They'll try to beat you down. They'll try to get you dissuaded. They'll try to get you to quit. Now, I know that's never happened to none of you. Amen. But it's happened to me. Amen. They come against you and they say, "Well, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just quit?" Amen. But look what takes place. He said, "For therefore, we made our prayer unto our God." And now listen, watch this. He said, "And set a watch against them day and night because of them." He said, because of them. He said, we set up a watch day and night. He said, we begin to watch out for the enemy. We begin to watch their approach. We begin to watch the way they move. We begin to watch their actions. We begin to see what they was doing. And he said, we just kept praying, took our supplication for God before God, and said, "God, just be for us and help us, Lord, to fight against our enemies." But look at Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 1. The Lord begins to give us help. Now these fellas has rose up and they've tried to discourage. They've tried to tear down. Amen? Are you hearing me tonight? They've tried all they could to discourage. That's what the devil does first. He tries to discourage you. He tries to redirect your focus and get you to focus on something else. He tries to get you to quit the work. And when that doesn't work, then he redirects. If he can't discourage you, then he tries to hinder the work. He said, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem the Arab and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me. Now listen what he says. He sent unto me saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Onon. But they thought to do me mischief. Amen. He said, hey, listen, he said the enemy couldn't discourage, so they decided they'd just hinder the man that was trying to do the work. That's what the devil does. He'll try to hinder the man. He'll try to hinder the woman that's trying to do the work. He'll throw up that roadblock. He'll throw in that hindrance to keep you from doing the work. Amen. The devil don't want you to succeed.
Amen.
Are you hearing me tonight? The devil don't want you to succeed. That's why our accountants are sad, because we believe that the devil's in control. But I want to say the devil and the enemy is not in control. God is.
Amen.
Amen. We serve a true and a living God. But they said, hey, we want you to come down to us. Said, Nehemiah, we need to talk to you. You've been a building this thing. You've got God. We need you to come down. We need to discuss this. Amen. We need you to come down so we can discuss what's going on there in Jerusalem. But now listen to what Nehemiah says. And I sent the messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? He said, I'm good at doing a good work. He said, I'm not going to quit doing that good work for you bunch of low-life rascals. He said, I'm going to stay on fire for God. I'm going to stay doing what God wants me to do. I'm going to stay focused. I praise God for the glory of God.
Amen.
He said, I'm going to keep building the walls. He said, there's too much at stake for me to quit and come down. He said, there's too much at stake for me to quit where I'm at. Amen. Then they sent unto me four times after this sword, and I answered them after the same manner. Four times they sent to him. They said, Nehemiah, come down. We need to talk to you, son. And four times he said, I'm good at doing a good work. Why should I leave it and come down to you? Amen. Get your heart right. What you need to do. Then sent Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. Now they couldn't discourage them. Now they couldn't discourage them and get them discouraged to quit the work. Are you hearing me? And they couldn't hinder them and keep them and dissuade them and keep them from coming down from the work. They stayed at the work. So now they tried to bring some, now listen, they tried to bring some false accusations. Ain't that the way the devil does? Hey man, he couldn't discourage and he couldn't hinder, so he brings the false accusations against them. In verse 6, it says, wherein was written, and it is reported among the heathen, and Geshmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem. Now can you get that? The prophet, he said, you talk about reaching. They said, Nehemiah, we've even heard that you're going to appoint prophets that's going to preach that you are somebody in Jerusalem. Now, you talk about false accusations. And he says, now listen to what he says. He said, there is a king in Judah, saying, there is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. He said, hey, we're going to take this to the king, and we're going to tell the king what you're doing. Amen? He said, come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. He said, if you don't want us to do that, you don't want us to take this letter to the king, you better come down and talk to us. Come off your high horse, feller. Now, you ain't nobody. We've done got accusations against you that said that you're trying to overthrow the king. But now listen to what he says about them made-up lies. In Nehemiah, in verse 8, he said, then I sent unto him, saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. He said, hey, listen. He said, I know what's in my heart. He said, I've done nothing against God or the king. He said, hey, you've made these lies up out of your own heart and your own wickedness. He said, you've made up these false accusations. He said, those are all yours and they're none of mine. Amen. But the old devil bring up false accusations. Amen. Try to tear you down. Try to dissuade you. Amen. If he can't discourage you, if he can't hinder you, then he'll tell lies on you. Amen. Try to destroy your character. Right? That's the way he does. Try to destroy your character. Try to get your self-esteem pushed down low. But he don't have no part of that. And now listen for what Nehemiah does. Verse 9, he says, For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work that is not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Amen. So what he done, he said, hey, listen, Lord. He said, they said that these lying works and the things that they've done, they've tried to make us weak. They've tried to get us to quit the work. But Nehemiah prays to God. And you know what he says? He said, Lord, he said, God, oh God, strengthen my hands. He said, just help me stay in the work, stay in the fight, not to give up, not to give in, not to compromise, not to quit, not to slow down, but to stay in the work. Stay in the fight. Amen. Praise the Lord. And they can't dissuade him. They can't discourage him. They can't hinder him. And they can't bring out false accusations to stop him. So they send in a lying prophet. Amen. Now can you see this? They send in this lying prophet. He said, afterward I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? Amen. Nehemiah said, hey, God's on my side. He said, God's a working for me, and I'm a working for God. He said, why should I shut myself up like some kind of fugitive and a vagabond? He said, I'm a child of God working for the King of glory. And he said, I don't need to shut myself up in the temple. Amen. He said, who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? He says, I will not go in. Amen. He said, I'll not do it. He said, I'll not go in. I'll not shut myself up like some kind of prisoner. Not as long as there's work to be done. Verse 12, he said, and lo, I perceived that God had not sent him. Amen. Don't you think? Ain't you glad for Holy Ghost discernment? Amen. Holy Ghost discernment would get us out of a whole lot of situations. Holy Ghost discernment would help to redirect our path. Holy Ghost discernment would help us to just stay in a fight. Holy Ghost discernment would help us to realize it's just a bunch of folks that's trying to tear up and tear down. He said, and lo, I perceive that God hath not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Amen. He was a hireling come in to destroy and to tear down and to tear up. That's all he was there. He said, therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. Amen. He said, they wanted me to just do that, sin against God. He said, they wanted me to go in, shut myself up and just disallow the power of God and the hand of God on the whole work. Now the work's just almost finished. Amen. The work's just almost finished. The walls are finished. The gates are built. But this old lying prophet said, hey, you just need to get inside the synagogue. You need to hide from so somebody don't kill you in your sleep. He said, God's done allowed us to finish the work. Amen. He ain't going to take me out now. And he says, my God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. He said, Lord, I just want you to think on them. I put them in your hands. I want you to deal with them. I want you to work with them. I want you to do that's needed in them. But then notice what he says, and I'm going to finish up. Notice what he says in verse 15. He says, so the wall was finished in the 20th and 15th day of the month Elul in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, now listen to this, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for that they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Amen. Did you get that? He said, hey, when these people around here, these enemies that we have, they were all around. But when they got to looking and they got to seeing what God was doing, they, hey, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm saying this. When they got to seeing the results of the work. Are you with me? They got to seeing the results of the work. They've got to seeing the walls rebuilt and the gates straight risen up. They begin to realize that God was in control of this thing. That God was in the midst of this work. That this work was wrought of our God. So why are our countenance sad? Why are our countenance down? Our countenance oughtn't to be down. Amen. Our countenance ought to be bright. Our countenance ought to be of countenance of assurance. A countenance of hope, a countenance of blessing, a countenance of assurance, because God is on our side. Amen. We can't give up and we can't give in. All the discouragers will come, the hinderers will come, the false accusations will come, but we don't have nowhere to quit. We got to stay in the work. We got to stay in the work for God. We got to continue to build the wall. Amen. Because lives depend upon it. Why did Nehemiah stay at the work on the wall? Because of the prosperity of a nation. Amen. Because his heart was broken for his people. He said, well, preacher, it's my people. That's my the enemy that hinder me. It's those people, my people, that's the ones that fight against me. It's my people, that's the one that would hinder the work. It's my people that would discourage. It's my people that would want to tear down. That's why it's even more important to stay in the work, to not to give up, to not quit. Because one of these days they'll look and they'll say, it may be after you're gone. Amen? It may be after God takes you out. But they'll look back at your life and they say, they stayed in the work. They kept building the wall. And no matter what I said, no matter how much of a hindrance I tried to be, no matter how much opposition I put up, no matter how much I tried to discourage, they just stayed faithful to the work. They never quit. Amen. Listen, my youngins, don't let your countenance be sad. Don't let your countenance be down. Just stay in the work. Because as Nehemiah said, I'm good at doing a good work. Amen. We're good at doing a good work. We're doing right. With the help of the Lord. We're not perfect yet. You're not perfect yet. But you're striving for perfection. You're trying. And that's what God expects. Amen. Don't you let the world tell you you can't finish. Amen. The wall's to be built. The wall's to be built. And we just got to stay in the work. Brother Rex, it ain't finished yet. Amen. It ain't going to be finished till it's built and all of our loved ones behind the wall. Amen. That wall of protection, that wall of safety, that wall of refuge, that wall of comfort, that wall of peace. It ain't going to be finished. There's nowhere to quit till all of our loved ones behind that wall. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, well, if we stay at the work, we'll get one of these days, we'll win them to our side. Amen. We'll win them to our side. And if not, maybe we just keep praying for them enough, somebody else will. Maybe we can't. Maybe the controversy in our lives is so big that we can't get past it. But somebody else can. Amen. Somebody else can. Somebody else can overcome that obstacle that's keeping them from getting close to the Lord, from being that obstruction. But we just got to have to stay. We just got to stay in building the wall. We just got to keep building the wall. You have just got to stay building the wall. There's nowhere to quit. Amen. There's nowhere to quit. We got to stay on the wall.